say that change your brother.
Things are making. Give her a sec, she's got to start the camera. Six on three, the Ingleside Planning and Zoning Commission meeting is called to order. If y'all would please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number three.
Consideration and action of the minutes of the planning and zoning meeting of May 1st, 2017.
Were there any corrections or additions to the minutes? Being none, they stand accepted. Number four.
Public hearing concerning an application filed by Mateo Luera to rezone Lot 11, Block G, Burton and Danforth subdivision. Mr. Luera is requesting to be allowed to change the zoning from its present classification of T1C, manufactured homes, to T1A, travel trailer RV park.
Okay, and 605, the planning and zoning meeting is
the regular meeting.
Public hearing will open at 6:05, and the way that the public hearing works is we have those who are speaking for come up first. You need to come to the mic because it is being recorded. You need to state your name and your address and the reason that you're for it, and after those who speak for, then we'll have those who speak against. You'll do the same thing. You'll come and give your name and your address. So those speaking for, if you'd like to come to the mic at this time.
My name is Mateo Luera. Good afternoon.
Good
afternoon. Okay, what I'd like to do is introduce this plan. I think you all got in front of you. We've got there's 9.5, almost 10 acre plot right there. And there's the commercial side in the front that we're not asking for the planning zoning area to do anything with. What's behind it. So when traffic goes through here, it'll be filtered, you know, the ride, we'll have a business there. It can be a chance of having a business. What we're planning on doing is trying to take all the undergrowth with the property we're purchasing here. Take the undergrowth and save as many of the trees as there. The plan that you see in front of you, the way it's plotted doesn't mean much right now. That was just an engineering fee that they had paid to get something to present to you guys. Now there might be, the road might be a little different. It might open up into and have a big tree in the middle of it or stuff, so we can preserve that tree. And as well as we all know that and allowed for these travel trailers per acre is 18. Now, if you look at in the what we're asking for is eight acres for 80 acres instead of 180 acre trailer that would be there would be only 80. For the reason that we want to preserve and be room for children and people that come in and work in the area. Also have room for them to make a little park, and we're going to have restrooms and other stuff as well. a light, I mean, with the engineer just drew out there. Do you all have one?
No.
Did you? Could you open up and look at it, please? In the, if you look at 361, it's right at the curve, okay? And we did, the way it was designed, probably the engineer is 2 entrances there. Kind of the way there won't be so much traffic trying to get in and out. And we know that the high points of the traffic here, when the businesses come out, there is a good number of traffic. And now, for emergencies, there's the Indian Trail is in the back. If there was something ever that needed to be an emergency exit, that's probably going to be a secondary. All right? The water lines, sewer lines that are there, you've got the water lines, you're going to find them in green, the sewer lines are the ones in blue. And all of these lines are all services and that are going to be provided that we've been checking with or certified people that will also be approved by you all to be able to work on this site because being under the permit restriction. And if you look at the beginning, which is block 11, that first part of it is all commercial. And we're going throwing back and forth on our budgeting and stuff. So we're looking at what else does single sign need. And we're asking, there's also a wash area that's needed in this area so people can have a place to wash clothes, a commercial wash area. That's something that we didn't put in there because we're talking about it. Basically, that's what I'd like to talk to you guys and let you all know, everybody, what we were planning on doing. Of course, you probably all have the letter in front of you and have read it. Now, I don't know if you all have, did you get this one printed out?
No.
No?
No,
they
don't
have. Okay. The RV improvements. JJ Gonzalez LLC and ICE Engineering out of Corpus Christi working together with me just to get an idea of what kind of funds that I would need to put this project together. And these are the numbers, and read them out, if you want to read them out, if what they are, or...
Well, when they are ready to ask questions, you
can... Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, let's pass it around while you all can look at it, and the questions can be asked later. Other than that, I am from Dallas, Texas, getting up in age and stuff, and looking at retiring one day. You're probably, I'm hoping in the next couple of 2 or 3 years. And also maybe being ready as well, being a resident here, taking care of our properties here and enjoying the area as well. I covered most of the information that y'all needed. When I want to get up for questions, I'll be ready. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else speaking for? You come to the mic at this time. No one else speaking for? Anyone speaking against? You need to come to the mic, state your name and your address, please.
Good evening. My name is Ronnie Hale. I live at 2982 Hackberry, there on the side. I also own the next door property, 2990 Hackberry, and we have lived there since 1980. We raised our kids there. The oldest, or our youngest son, will be 37 at the end of July, and he was a couple of months old when we moved in over there. We moved away from Corpus to get away from the crowded area and the hustle and the bustle. My wife and I are celebrating our 41-year wedding anniversary today. Spending up here tonight with you all. That being said, we've seen a lot of changes on Hackberry Street over the years, both good and bad, but 85% of them are bad. I'm sure y'all have heard that from the police department. I mean, it's gone from bad to worse over the years. We've had so many things stolen over there, so many things, so much stuff goes on in that field behind that area that he's talking about developing. I mean, anytime anything gets stolen from us, we go back there and go for a treasure hunt. We find hypodermic needles. We find spray cans where they've been huffing paint. We find a little bit of everything. Bongs, that big fort that's built back there behind a certain area down the street where they all sit out there and party at night. I mean, our dogs used to go crazy at all the stuff that's going on out there. My wife works for the post office in Port Angeles. She leaves at 4:30 in the morning to drive over there. And for years, when she goes out to get in the car, it could be even raining. She's seeing these guys wearing shorts, just tatted out all over, and walking down the street at 4:30, 4:15, 4:30 in the morning, going up and down Hackberry shopping. I'm tired of all the stuff that goes on back there. And to me, going from manufactured trailers or manufactured homes to these RVs, they've got some beautiful RV parks here now for the winter of Texas. But 70% of the ones I've seen around here between here and Aransas are all for the temporary worker that's here that's not bringing a family. He's coming here and he's probably working hard. And then on Sundays, he's having his big barbecue, their big parties. And there's trash everywhere. I've never seen this much trash in this city as I've seen in the past 5 years on all sides of the roads everywhere. I think bringing RV park in is like bringing transients in that's going to be here just long enough to make their, you know, their little bit of money and then leave town and leave us with a big mess to clean up. Not to mention what kind of people are going to be living there temporarily in and out of a RV park. It's different than a manufactured home park. And I really have high anxiety over it. I don't like it. We don't have any street lights on Hackberry. And I'm sure you all know there's so much stuff that goes on in Hackberry that it's just unbelievable. We've had our grandkids there. We keep a real close eye on them whenever they come to visit. And we don't agree with it, bringing in a transient park or an RV park, whatever you want to call it, back behind our area. That's all I have to say about it.
Thank you. Anyone else speaking against? If you'd like to come to the mic, please. Mm-hmm. State your name and your address for us.
My name is Steve Shaw. I live on 1733 Hackberry. I'm in Indian Trail. I own the property that borders on that side, the east side of this property under consideration. They've already zoned a couple years ago the property on the opposite, on the east side, I did, for travel trailer parks, and nothing ever came to that, which was good for me. But I'm totally opposed to any travel trailer park on the west side, I think, or the south side, west side. So, what's my objection to it? I have a large property around 640 feet, and halfway down that lot, so I've got a lot at stake.
Anyone else speaking against? At 6:18, the public hearing is closed. And the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting is reopened. Do I have a motion?
Second. this type of deal. What is per acre?
The RV ordinance requires that it be paid no more than 18 units per acre. Restrooms for both male and female, laundry facilities, the RV parks that people see when they drive around are not built to our specifications because they're just outside of the limits. All these new ones are popping up, and we have no control over that. The RV parks that are built under the specifications will not be part of that.
But this is how many acres are we?
This is, I believe, 8 acres they're asking that is zoned for manufactured homes currently, that's what they're asking to rezone. The acreage that fronts 361 is zoned C2, and they're not requesting that rezone.
So it'd be replatted into one lot, excluding the...
Not only if they decide to build something on the C2, right now they could build the RV park without the plat. If they decide to develop the C2 portion, then they have to replat it to a separate lot.
Okay, but does that have to be paid?
All paid, yes.
All paid.
And strike parking, fire lanes.
Well, that brings up a question. Are you going to do anything with the C2? You got any plans for the C2?
Can I get up there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see. To answer the question, it is paid. Okay. The trailers themselves. When we talked earlier, I don't know which one of you guys mentioned that there's a really nice. You're talking about Winter Texas area. Okay. In a Winter Texas area, I guess, and if you looked at the number of travel trailers in that area, probably gonna be a little less than eight. We're looking at about 8 per trailer, per acre, per acre. So what we're trying to do is keep it kind of like that, but if you, we talk about families, okay? If we were to have 18 trailers in an area, and have, some of them do bring their children, that's gonna be hard. I'll tell you, I work in West Texas. I'm on my days off right here today. And I've lived in travel trailers over there that you only have 12 feet of space. You have nothing. We are all workers, trying to feed our family, pay our bills, you know, dress our children, and keep our roof overhead. And sometimes we have to leave. So that's what's happening here. A lot of people that are from like the RC of Corpus or in the neighborhood or around the state, they come out here because they qualify to work for these people that are down here in this area. There's only qualified people here. And what we're trying to do is let them be able to bring their families in here too as well. If they get a mobile a travel trailer that's big enough, it's gonna be on the cement slab, the trailer itself. So we're not doing something fly by night, and you know that's gonna look trashy. There's gonna be rules, regulations, and things that we're gonna ask for that will be, you know, to keep it clean, to keep the city, to make it look presentable. You know, we're gonna have trash cans out there that we have to provide out there, so all the trash can be there. We're gonna have somebody that maintains the place all the time and be there. Somebody has to be there in the morning to clean up.
Well, what kind of spacing are you talking about?
What kind of spacing? I don't have that wrong.
You know you only put so many to an acre, you're going to have 30 to 40 feet between 30.
Yes.
I mean, right now, our code states that you got to have 20 foot
minimum between the grass. It's going to be open. You're going to have more than enough room, being that you have it's 18 per acre going down, taking 10 of them figured out, and preserving the trees as well.
Do you have any idea what kind of depth you're going to have on the space?
Sir?
Have any idea what kind of depth you're going to have?
I don't have the idea. The engineering, we call the engineering company, but I figure it's going to be anywhere between, like, where I'm staying at right now, in West Texas, we have room for the trailer, we have sort of 25 feet by 35 feet. That's what a normal travel trailer spot is. I can imagine that when we start taking the, let's see, let me think. drought, an acre is 300 feet by 150 feet wide. Okay?
Okay.
You got a calculator with you? I don't know.
How wide?
Yeah, we can buy that.
How wide is the lot right now?
Yeah, 150.
300 feet wide? 330?
They're gonna have plenty of room.
Yeah, the 300.
Let me tell you why I'm bringing this up. Contrary to what they're saying about the children and all the other things, you meet a lot of people come down here from Houston, Dallas, other places, they bring a boat with them. If you've got enough depth on there, you can park the boat and a car and have a trailer. A lot of these trailer parks go out and look at them, they're half empty because the people are transit from Dallas, Fort Worth.
Right.
They leave the boats down here parked, that's why they ask them. This is one of the things that has to be given consideration.
Right.
We do have that kind of influence on our people here besides just the workers.
Right, and this drawing is not complete. Like I said, it's not complete. Okay, so whenever if the undergrowth has been taken off, then we would look and do another survey again. And now, thought of what you just did. That's a good idea, a good question, because over there where I'm staying at in West Texas, we have an area that we can park a utility trailer that's not gonna be in the way where somebody's gonna back up and get hit or something like that as well. The things that we have looked at and trying to make, you know, room for everybody there and be, you know, we have people like on our travel trailer park right now. Children are not allowed where we're staying at right now. And the hands that work with us to have travel trailers have to leave their travel trailers, go to a motel when their wife comes up after like 2 or 3 weeks, you know, stay. And this is what we're trying to prevent. Because this is the family. Then we're out here, and I know that being as a worker that I'm up there, they'd be the same way here.
So you do want this to be set up for workers.
Sir?
You do want this to be set up for workers.
It's for both.
But you realize that a good percentage of retired RVers will not stay where there are workers.
Right.
Period. I won't. I've been traveling in an RV for years, and I will not go where there are workers because I don't want to be woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning when they start up all their diesel trucks and haul their butts in and out, and I don't want to listen to people partying all night long.
Right.
So that's the problem that, you know, you're going to run into. You're going to have one or the other. You're not going to have both.
I think you'll find, I see where you're coming from, okay? If I would let you say that if I had a trailer park and I had a drug dealer at one corner, okay? And then I allowed another one and another one and another one, by the time I know it, at the end of the day, I'm not gonna have any spaces for normal people. The drug people are gonna take over. Well, those are things that we're gonna try to regulate ourselves. There's a lot of, when I say trying, we're...
Well, and I understand that, but let's also be realistic. You're there to make money.
Yeah.
When you got people standing in line going to give you a month of income with no trouble, no hassle, no, you don't have to check them in and out every night, you're going to take that monthly income over having to pull people in and out and deal with people, you know, because that's the way money works.
I'm sorry, but I don't work like that. Okay. I'm more of a person, if you go out to look at my house, you're going to see... The places that I have at the lake and other places, you go out there and look at it, you see how clean these places are. I take pride in what I do in my life and what I do out in here and in church as well. Okay? Honestly, I would try to keep a decent place here for everybody, for all of us to live in. Because I'll be part of the residents as well. Because I got to be in. This is my residence. And I'd be able to come up and be here and make sure everything stays clean as well.
You're going to become an owner manager.
Yes, sir.
Or you will have a full-time manager.
Yeah, I'll have somebody there keeping cleaning the area as well, and I want to be here as well.
I understand that.
Yes, sir.
Question here. I see there's only two fire hydrants.
Mm-hmm.
What is our hose layers requirement? Do you know what that is?
330 feet. Well, no, I'm sorry. RV park regulation stipulates 500 feet. Which this is just a preliminary. This is not being submitted for approval for any type of utility or anything.
Gary, is that correct?
Yes, sir. RV park.
500 instead of 300?
States 500.
I'm glad to hear that.
I thought that was.
If there's something that's missing.
Well, I was just noticing.
I hope that we've dotted the I's and crossed the T's.
Well, that's another thing. Are you going to extend the sewer down the Indian Trail to tie into it? Because it ends right there at
It ends right there?
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, in the cost there, on the paperwork, it says that, you know, I'm gonna furnish everything else, and that I'm gonna complete it on my, at my cost. And everything has to be certified and approved by you guys, you know, the builder, you know, the people that come in and install, and inspect.
What I would make, if this does pass in your favor, I would definitely recommend that you make a peep enough that you can bring your people in from San Antonio and places like this, because if you go around and look at some of the nicer RV parks, they're two-thirds empty, and that's because they all got boats parked in front of them. They come down on the weekend, they stay at a boat home, they take the boat and go fishing.
I did do a survey.
If you have plenty of room in there, you're gonna have the same scenario. You're gonna have a lot of people in there, just come down on the weekend.
Before we found the property here in Ingleside, we drove down toward Rockford and all this other area, and it's honesty. It's crowded, dirty, some places like that, but what we're proposing is nothing like that. And not on a main street, to be honest with you. You look, this is the main street. This is your town. This is your town. You drive through here, you look at you have a mobile home park right across the road from where I'm into trying to, you know, plan this one. They rezoned me for this one. I don't remember the name of it, right next to Snappy's. Is there not another one? There is one right in front.
Yeah, it's been brushed back.
Okay. But, you know, what we're trying to do is make it nice, clean, and presentable for a town. When somebody drives by, I've seen some really nice ones. We all have. And if you look at the cost, we're looking at spending $1 million almost to do these repairs. It's not a fly-by-day thing. It's something really nice for the town.
Should we require to put up a buffer zone or anything?
Screening between buildings and
fence. Or a garden or something.
Mm-hmm. Usually it's a privacy fence.
I think that'd be better than what's out there. I went out there.
They'll have to be signed and approved by the highway department, because I've got another place in Orangeville that I have a road commission permit for and stuff. I would have to put like signs for children crossing and stuff like that. And that's all that they're gonna be required. It comes along with it, you know.
A question, Gary. This is very much a transitional area that has a lot of mixed zoning, and I noticed that lot 10 right behind this is still residential. Is that your property back there with the 640 feet?
Yeah.
And you object to that, and you're currently zoned residential?
Mm-hmm. And on the other side of it is the travel trailer zone,
right.
Lot 9. Yeah.
Number 10.
Yeah, he's number 10.
Have you been there?
40 something years.
Before this thing came in, or did it come in after you?
No, years ago, back in the, I think it was in the 80s, the guy said, I'm going to put manufactured homes in there, and they cleared all the oak trees, bulldozed everything they could, and then it sat there for all these years. Now it's grown back up in weeds and brush and whatever. But they destroyed the property, leveling it out, you know, because there used to be some sloughs back there. But,
By the way, have you done anything on drainage?
Any other questions?
Well, I guess not a question, comment I've got. It's a mixed area. It's a mixed use area. There's houses here and mobile homes, and then you gotta look at some of them. Well, I don't call them mobile homes, they're more modular homes.
Manufactured.
Thank you, dear. And you got to look close to some of them, because some of them look almost like houses, and they're not. Yeah. And so when I was out there looking at it, I said, golly, this place has got all kind of mixed houses in it, and buildings and stuff. And what I found was the city had put up, as you did, put up two signs for rezoning it. It looked like maybe as soon as you stepped off the pavement, it went down. And I don't know if there's a lake in there or what. But me, I'd welcome somebody to clean it up.
Adding to that, we engineer that came out here and looked at and talked about, I think there's maybe a little, most of it was off, they've already walked everything. They've already walked. Okay? They got 43. Anyway, okay. Being that they, when they walked it, there is a little problem. It's not very bad, it's not bad at all. But what they're saying is maybe that pull that up, dig it down, and they go to go fishing for it.
For retention pond.
Yes, for the kids. Where they can enjoy themselves, make them, put some barbecue pits. That's what I do. I'm a welder. I want a welding company, run a welding out of it. Okay? And we've got three shops right now and everything else. But eventually I'm going to get rid of the business. So this is what I'm going to do. And we want to be able to put little canopies. That's what people can get down and fish. And if we do that, depending on the little area, we're going to need some fill. We're going to need some fill for that road. So we can use some of that.
Yeah, that retaining pond.
Right.
retaining pond.
Fishing
pond. Mm-hmm.
I would ask that the gentleman make the motion to consider amending it to make a special provision to limit 80 units. That way it doesn't come into
change it.
Can we do that?
I don't believe we can do that.
Because the ordinance says smaller than that, and he's just volunteering. I understand that.
You can do it as a special provision. Yes.
You rezone the T1A RV. By the ordinance that regulates the RV park. And that regulation states minimum 18. So you would say minimum of 10 per acre. I guess it would be just flat 80. Perhaps I don't know if that would work, but you can make a recommendation.
Well, we already have a code that puts plenty of space for 20 trailers.
Minimum 20
trailers. Yeah, clear cut.
I just know, whether it's other towns, there's always, you can have a zoning with a special provision on that zoning.
Well, if we did a special provision on the zoning, I think you want to change it, bring it back.
Can that be done?
You want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'm in my motion to 8 to the acre.
Special provision, no more than 8, are you?
Total, yeah. He can come back and change it, right?
This gives us a chance to look at the drawings, the final drawings, and be able to see what you're trying to put together. Right now, I have no idea what's going to be going to cover. I'm just hoping that you got, and I know we will have, we can do our way from now on. Once we're off the trail, we'll start going over the daily trail.
I think it's the second one we've got that has no drawings or anything. It's really.
That's because the engineering to draw up a natural park is so expensive,
right.
That when they're in the process of purchasing the property, they don't want to spend that time money until they know they're going to be allowed to do it. So it's preliminary. We're trying to get an idea.
Well, that makes that a good motion.
Yeah, I'm excited. Mr. Wilson motioned to recommend the city council that the rezone be approved with a special provision of a maximum of 80 recreational vehicles on the property. And Mr. Mannering seconded that motion.
Mr. Wilson?
Aye.
just so that you are clear that you have still two more meetings to make with the city council. This has not been approved yet. I would recommend that if you go to the city council meeting also. It will be held June 13th at 6:30 here at City Hall. Thank you.
And that is also a public hearing, so you do need to be present.
Are we on five? Are we ready? Okay. Comments from the public? If anyone would like to make any comments, now would be your chance. You again have to go to the mic and speak your name and address.
Okay, and I'm Ronnie Hale, 2982 Hackberry, 2990 Hackberry. I've listened to the proposal, and I still have really strong opposition to it. Somebody mentioned when they came in, I believe it was the late 80s, early 90s, and cleared it all off back there and was going to do the same thing, and nobody ever did. And I mean, all we had was snakes and everything else coming our way, and possums, and you name it. And then it ended up being just a field for the drug addicts to end up in and hide from the cops back there, back when they had the old Midway Tavern and the doghouse. Everybody would run from the cops anytime they were near. Everybody knows that area, and it's just gotten worse. And like I said, the police know about this. And I mean, up and down Indian Trail, you know, up and down Hackberry, up and down all that area that one to surround this RV transient park is, you know, it's going to be a hotbed. I think the ones I've seen, sure, I've seen some nice RV parks. There's one over there, I believe it's 12th Street, then 361, that turned out real nice over by the VFW. Concrete, and those are mostly your winter Texans and your boats and this and that, and your more family-oriented people. But the rest of all the ones I've seen around here are just people that are here for 1 to 3 months at a time, and as soon as their job's over, they're gone. But all their trash and all the rest of the junk is still here. And, you know, I have an issue with how high is the privacy fence going to be to separate that property from the backside of the easement of Hackberry, you know, or the same with, you know, Indian Trail. I mean, how, you know, I still have a strong opposition to this whole thing. We will be back for the other hearings, but it doesn't sound like the right thing for Inside to me, especially in our area. There's no streetlights already, and rampant theft going on, rampant drug use going on up and down the street, and cars that drive up and down the street from 361 down to the apartments at the end of the street, you know, 50, 60 miles an hour, you know, all the time. And all we need is more traffic over there. We don't need it.
Talking about this, I mean, this is where you need to bring to city council, because we're at the time of our hands.
I understand.
All we do is make the recommendation to city council, and it's up to them to take the vote. So the best thing for you to do is to come back and make sure you're here for that council meeting.
Yes, ma'am.
And voice your opinion.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hale.
Thank you, Mr. Hale.
Thank you.
I have on that, speaking of the fence, is there a rule on how big the fence has to be, or 2 foot?
Privacy fence, solid wood, is 6 foot picket with a 2x8 picket board, so about 7 foot.
Okay. Did it have to be wood, chain link, or did it have to be 7 foot?
Or the oleanders.
No, because I can climb through oleanders.
Is there any other comments from the public? Any other comments from the public? Being none, reports from planning and zoning members. Nothing? Reports from staff?
You see each of your places, we gave you the drawings that the maps that Mark has printed up, and we did the buffer zones, we're talking about the 1069 C2 rezone. We wanted you to have this, because when we come back, I believe we're gonna shoot for the agenda of, I don't remember, I'm so sorry, and Cassie's out of town, so. But, we wanted you to have it to review it, to see if you feel like the distance from the depths is okay. Mark, what did you do, 125 feet on the properties that weren't platted? If it was a platted lot, we did the entire lot. If it wasn't a platted lot, we went 125 feet, and that would be to rezone those to C2. All right, it's a 200-foot buffer, the first one is 164 notifications, and then the 400-foot buffer is 234. Now, some of those are duplicated, I think, or did you take out the duplication?
No.
Okay, so obviously we wouldn't send that many notices out, we would only send one. If they had five listed, they'd get one, but.
Is this one, is this hearing covered the 400 feet?
Any rezone is a 400-foot buffer.
And that 400 feet, that's the dollar that showed up?
Yes, sir. We did not get any letters of objection. So we wanted you to have this, so you can look at it when we come back.
Thank you.
I'm assuming you wanna do the entirety at one meeting, or do you wanna do it in sections?
No.
I wouldn't.
Just a question, Karen.
Yes, sir.
This is just going north, and at one time we had done our intention going south through the middle of town there.
We did those already, and there's C1 and C2, did you wanna?
Oh, no, I was just, yeah, no, I was. I missed me.
I was curious, the, yeah, you were here. South of the railroad track, we did all of those C2, unless they were already C1 and we left them alone. That has been an issue.
Right.
And a gentleman has had to come and get his C1 and come to C2 because the setback is different. Did you wanna look at doing the C1s on that end of town with C2? There's just a few, it wouldn't be that many, but this was the more condensed, the more.
I just know that we seem to have a lot of meetings where we're having C1 people coming in when they're sandwiched in between two C2s on that south field. It's kind of like a no-brainer type of deal, you get to the point where you think, is that what we're doing here?
Well, we'll include that then with this, if that's what you'd like to do.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Missy. Okay. And that will be included. I believe it's in the last meeting in June, possibly
the first meeting in July.
Okay. Does July run into the 4th? Well, no,
because
I'm not here on the
4th. Okay. Well,
none of us are here on the
4th. Well, but I just meant, does it run into that holiday week? I think.
Well, July 3rd is the first Monday, but we did four budget for 17th.
I will not be here on the 3rd.
Most people are out of town.
That was my point then.
If it falls in there, we'll make sure it's not the 17th. We'll go to the 17th. So, okay. That's all right.
Okay. So that was just any other discussion on the agenda for next meeting besides what Carrie has?